The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So folks, a number of folks are turning to artificial intelligence for answers about a number of issues, politics, policy, just news in general. But are those answers neutral? A Washington Post investigation tested major AI chatbots and found some gave answers that leaned left more often than they presented conservative arguments, something that conservatives as well as the White House has been very concerned with. Matt Rosen, CEO and founder of Aleda AI, he's an AI expert, joins us. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
So, Matt, when folks go to AI, I'm curious whether or not the expectations that they have are actually matched by what is produced by that software.
Yeah, I think it depends what you're going to AI for. And, you know, I read this Washington Post article as well, obviously, and, you know, it was a pretty small subset of use cases they went after. But, you know, I think when you go to AI, you have to know what you're looking for. And if you're just going in asking for the latest news, I think there's probably better sources to do it. We like to use AI really to solve problems, come up with it, artifacts for emails. There's a lot of things you can use AI for, but I think just going and say, hey, what's the latest news out there? There's probably better places to do it. And, you know, AI wants to please you. It's going to give you back things you want to hear. And so it gets to know you. And it's also trained on all the information that's out there on the internet. And so you really have to know what you're looking for when you go out there, and you have to have it cite its sources, because oftentimes it's going to, the first answer it gives you might not be the right answer.
So when you say there are alternatives, such, can you give us some examples?
I mean, I look at Google News, I look at Yahoo News, I look at this Ground Truth News when I'm looking for my news, because it says which articles lean left or right. Because, you know, where this article came from was they went and they had a bunch of different AI models give responses, but only in 30 words, which is very short, on different things. And what the research found was that most of the models lean left. I don't find this surprising at all, because if you think about many journalists and many authors lean to the left, and if you consider that AI is trained on all the world's knowledge, more of it than not is probably a little bit more liberal leaning than conservative leaning. And so, you know, what this article says is if you're going in and asking questions, it's going to present things with a slightly left point of view. And so what I did, one of the things I did to test this out was I took the article and I actually put it into three different engines. I put it into Gemini, I put it into OpenAI, and I put it into Anthropic's Claude. And they all pretty much gave me the same answers. Yeah, this is the information we're trained on. So if you want a more conservative point of view, you probably need to ask for it, ask for the sources that it was pulling the actual answer from, which it will absolutely do.
Because the general search, and I guess that's what conservatives and others have been concerned with, is that the mainstream media, I think it's fair to say and safe to say, leans left. And their perspective is going to be more left. In fact, there was a study done the other day that there were more stories done about the reflecting pool than there was about the intelligence information that Tulsi Gabbard released as she was walking out of the door relative to Anthony Fauci and how he may have lied to Congress. Kind of find that a little bit interesting that the reflecting pool would be written about more than
pretty wild.
And it's kind of like, I rest my case, Your Honor. I mean, it's like I need not say anything more, right?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. So what I advise listeners is, if you are going to use AI to help you find news or ask questions about things, maybe use a couple different AI engines. There's good free ones out there. And maybe ask it a question deeper too, is where are you pulling this information from? And, you know, could you compare it against this? So just don't take the first answer at face value. And that's, unfortunately, we live in like this age of information, but yet there's so much disinformation or information aggregated for one person's point of view or one side's point of view. It's like, if you don't question things a little bit, you're bound to get answers that might not be the whole truth. And so I think you got to dig a little bit more and not just take the first AI answer as the only one, and dig a bit deeper, be curious, ask a few more questions before just taking the first thing you get. And
it's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y. And if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
And running with it.
We're visiting with Matt Rosen, CEO and founder of Aleda. Matt, he's an AI expert. Matt, I guess we're partially to blame, right? We're lazy and we're looking for the path of least resistance. You know, we live in for the moment. We want the answer now. Some of these studies that I've looked at and some of the answers provided by AI, they don't even make sense. I mean,
no.
You know, and it's kind of like if you read the answer and reflect for like just maybe 25 seconds, you'd say to yourself, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No,
but we don't. AI's running.
AI's a bit sycophantic. It wants you to come back and use it more. So it's going to also tell you what you want to hear unless you say, please challenge me. And so you have people that, you know, develop relationships with these AIs, and it tells them exactly what they want to hear so that they keep coming back and using it. And so, in fact, as an organization, one of the things we try and do is get people off of using the public models and at least get the models embedded in their own environment and talking to their information. Because ultimately what the model's being fed with is going to give a quality or non-quality result. And if you just go out to the public Gemini model and ask it questions about your health and your personality and should you be on a diet or what, you know, what should you do about this condition, you're not apt to always get accurate information. But yeah, people want easy answers and they don't want to dig and do the deeper research. And so for those that are going out and just taking the first answer Gemini or Claude gives you, you might be running with information that's not correct, but presented to you very well.
And I suspect that a lot of the urban myths that we have floating around in society today started right there with being lazy and using an AI model that throws something out there that just doesn't even make any sense.
Or heck, a lot of people get their news from TikTok these days. my assistant, that's where she gets it all. I'm like, seriously, do you cross-check it anywhere? She's like, occasionally. And this is what, you know, the younger generation's running with.
Again, you know, laziness, right? I mean, how do I ask this question? So how far do we let this go? I mean, obviously, there are a lot of concerns out there about moderating this in some way, like putting a governor on it and modulating it, if that's even the appropriate word. You know, to make sure that this thing, it just doesn't go off and running and has our whole world all screwed up based on misinformation.
You know, that's a really great question, and it's a big problem to solve. I do think the government's trying to step in and, you know, look at some of these newest models, which, you know, let me take a step back. One of the biggest challenges is the two main guys that have brought AI to the world, Sam Altman and Dario Amodei, I'll call them out here, have done an absolutely terrible job about talking about the great things AI can do. They've been just doom and gloom about how many jobs it was going to cut, how bad it's going to be, how these models aren't safe. And you saw Anthropic got banned, but it's almost as if they'd asked for it. They said, hey, this thing's so dangerous, it can break into anything. So we're going to give it to a really small group of users and make sure it works great before we release it to everyone else. They release it to everyone else. Like, oh, wait, we're still worried something could go wrong. And then now you have the U.S. government reviewing these models. And we're in a race against the Chinese. We need to keep up. And so banning them is not the answer. I do think maybe rolling them to a smaller group of people first. And I also am not a huge fan of kids of all ages using these things because they're not going to learn. So I think social media, you know, the fact you see other countries, you know, putting, you have to be 16 to use it or some parental consent. I'm not opposed to seeing something similar happen with AI, but at the same time, we have to keep up. This technology is going to drive the future. And so we have to be educated on it, but we have to be smart about how we use it, how we deploy it, and how we use it personally. And so I think it's a question that a lot of smart people are going to have to come together and solve over the years to come.
Well, my concern, I think you would probably agree, especially with younger kids, is that what happens to critical thinking, right, when you just become totally reliant on this technology?
It goes out the window. There's studies where you have had people use AI for there's one study recently where they had AI helping them spot fake news, and then they got better at spotting fake news. It's like you lose your ability to critically think. It's like if you lay in bed for 3 days, you start to lose muscle mass. Same thing happens with your brain if you're not critically thinking. And I think, you know, as you get into some of the older generations, you know, if you've been taught to critically think, it doesn't go away as fast. But like for my kids who are teenagers, I'm like, hey, that's fine if you want to use AI to help you understand something, but you better put it in your own words, and you better make sure you understand it, and you better ask for its sources before you just go on with, hey, that's the answer. And I feel like this is technology that we're expecting these kids to use when they show up at work, but I don't know that schools are equipped to teach them how to use it. So you see a lot of schools going back to the Socratic method of, hey, you turn in a paper, you're going to be asked to defend it. I think we're going to have to be smart about how we, you know, embed this into our society. And I don't know that we're off to the best start.
The other thing about it is that I don't know if they do this with intentionality. I would suspect not. But you make the vulnerable sections of our population even more vulnerable, right?
How do you mean?
I mean, folks that have some type of impairment, that don't have that heightened ability to reason and things of that nature, that end up relying on this technology, they already have expressed and overt vulnerabilities, but you just highlight them and you make them worse when you have all this bad information floating around.
Oh, completely agree. Yeah, people are getting their information from TikTok or Gemini and not interrogating it a bit more, that they are at risk of getting misinformation. In fact, I think, you know, there's a lot of people that prey on that. And I think that's unfortunate. And I think really the only thing you can do is try and educate people. And that can be difficult. But everyone has access to a smartphone. And so they've got access to these models. They've got access to social media. Without us doing a better job of educating the population on how these models and this information could be used, you know, it could go well, it could go poorly. You know, I tend to be optimistic. I think there's, you know, this technology is going to make many goods and services more affordable. I feel like it's going to help solve a lot of diseases. But I think the counter to that is, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Idiocracy, where you end up in a world in 600 years that nobody knows how anything works, that's a scary proposition. And so, you know, we've got to be very thoughtful about how we deploy these tools and how we educate people to use them.
And how we regulate it, because as we all know, anytime you step into the regulatory field, it's a very slippery slope, and there are a lot of unintended consequences, right?
There are, because what will happen, you see this is happening right now, is, you know, the latest version of OpenAI is being reviewed by the government and a small group of users, and there are people right now evaluating using some of the Chinese open source models, because you know what? They're free. You can download them. You can put them on your server, and they don't cost anything to run. And so what you risk by limiting our ability to roll out new technology is that people just go find it somewhere else. And we are absolutely in a race with the Chinese to have the strongest AI. And, you know, there's, by regulating it, it incents people to go use their technology versus ours. And that is a risk I worry about. I really hope over the next months and weeks to come, they figure out a better framework for evaluating this and getting it in people's hands and educating people on how to use it instead of just stalling forward progress.
Absolutely. Matt Rosen, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the time and the insight. CEO and founder of Aleda, an AI expert. Have a great week.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.